turn up the heat here.
So I'm calling the meeting to order of the July 20th, 2026 meeting of the Rogers Waterworks and Sewer Commission. Do we have, public forum is the first item on the agenda. Anyone from the public
or private want to speak?
Seeing none, we'll move on to taking action on the minutes. Are there any, was everybody able to look at the minutes from the last meeting?
I make a motion to accept the minutes of June the 15th.
Okay, a motion by Kathy.
Second.
Second by Paige. All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Aye.
All right. Reports. Mr. Shipman, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you, ma'am. Good afternoon, everyone. Well, our report for the month of June will also double as our unfinalized, unaudited report for fiscal year 2026. My caveat when I give the presentation for June here is that there's still work to be done on the prior year financials. We'll be recording additional accruals, we'll be making year-end adjustments, we'll be working in collaboration with our auditors to make sure that everything is squared away. So take these year-to-date numbers with a grain of salt, I guess, and know that they are subject to change. So again, June is the last month of our fiscal year, so our fiscal year is complete. And in the water fund, looking at our actuals versus budget, revenues ended the year at 92% of budget. Expenses right on target at 100%. And in the sewer fund, revenues ended the year over budget at 104%, while expenses ended at 98%. So pretty square on with the expenses and a little bit of variance there on the revenue side for both water and sewer. For our capital outlay in the water fund, we end the year at 57% of our budgeted capital outlay. That equates to $6.1 million. And on the sewer side, it was 55% of our budgeted outlay. And you can see that that's a bigger number, $26.3 million. And the graph shows you, again, that budget. Line is that dotted black line, and the solid black line is our actuals for FY26. And you can see pretty clearly that although we ended the year well below our projections about what our capital outlay could be in the water and sewer fund, we still made significantly more capital investments than in either of our prior two fiscal years. Capital outlays continue to be a key part of the activity that we're doing here. For billed revenue and consumption, looking first at the water fund, billed revenue for June was just over $2 million. And compared to June of 2025, that's up 28%. If you just look at the billed revenue associated with consumption, it's up 14%, while water consumption itself is up 12%. On the sewer side, billed revenue for the month was just under $2 million. Billed revenue as compared to last year was up 26%. Billed revenue associated with consumption was up 20%, while sewer consumption itself was up 4%. If we look at our charts, we're looking at billed consumption for residential, commercial, industrial customers. These are our key revenue streams here. And as you know, we've been tracking under budget on water for basically the whole fiscal year. And the good news is that in the last quarter of this year, April, May, June, that gap has been closing month by month. And so we end the year just $190,000 below our budgeted projection in the water fund. Those three GL accounts total $18.45 million. And in the sewer fund, those three accounts total $20.8 million, and you can see that's about $1 million better than budgeted. And again, well above collections from the two prior years, which is, of course, mostly a function of our rate increases, which went into effect in July and then again in October, I think. Of course, July 1 was the next scheduled rate increase, and that'll show up on next month's report, but that is in effect now. If you were looking at your bill, you probably saw a notice at the bottom of it that referenced the rate increases that became effective July 1 of this year. Besides bill consumption, of course, the other key revenues that we look at are access and impact fees. You know, we've been monitoring this one pretty closely throughout the year. It's not been what we expected it might be. I mentioned at our May meeting that we would need a very strong month in June to avoid FY26 being the lowest year of collections over the last 7 years. Well, we did that. Go figure, right? But it was our best month of collections on the fiscal year between water and sewer. We brought in $398,000. So we end the year at $2.2 million, which of course is well shy of what we budgeted. It's also about $1 million less than what we brought in FY25. And it's just another sharp reminder of the volatility of that revenue stream. But certainly it was nice to end the year with a bang. And I did note that of that $398,000, $295,000 was associated with one project, the reserve at Osage Creek, which is 130 living units on 28th Street, just south of Walnut. So between access and impact fees, $295,000 for that one project. For our year-to-date income, we had positive and strong net income for both water and sewer. And again, my caveat here is that this is subject to change. One item, for example, is depreciation. I do expect that we will see additional depreciation expense moderate these net income figures by the time it's all said and done. We will continue to accrue our expenses through the August 10th AP check run, and so that's additional time for capital outlays to be accrued to FY26. We'll also sit down with our engineering team and review the construction in progress to identify any capital projects that are substantively complete and need to be capitalized by year end, by fiscal year end, and have depreciation start on those. But the month of June was helped by strong developer contributed capital. We record that as revenue. We had $800,000 in the water fund and $280,000 in the sewer fund, which is helping these net income numbers for June. So you can see in the chart for water net income, right now our draft number is $7.8 million. That's 80% of budget. And in the sewer fund, it's $10.6 million, 114% of budget. I'll take the opportunity in a couple extra minutes here just to scroll down. I don't usually give you this report. This is a budget detail report. So you can see at the general ledger account level of detail both the current budget, this is for FY26, the fiscal activity, and then whether that was under budget or over budget. So looking at revenues, a negative number there would be considered unfavorable. It's saying that we didn't collect as many revenues as we said we would. Basically, 97% of our residential water revenue we ended up collecting. So I've just kind of highlighted here a few things just to draw your attention to. Again, that residential, commercial, industrial water, you can see how we ended the year. Residential and commercial, a little bit less than budgeted. Industrial, $196,000 more than budgeted. Miscellaneous water sales, quite a bit better than budgeted. That's because we supplied some water to Bentonville and put those collections there. That was, we didn't make any money on that. We just charged them the wholesale rate, but that's where that revenue went. Late fees and charges a little bit under budget. Interest income was higher than budgeted across the board for our investments, our bank accounts, and the cash that we have sitting in our bond funds until those semi-annual payments come out. And you can see those positive numbers there for those. Again, access and impact fees, we've talked about. Contributed capital, quite a bit less than budgeted for water So you can see between impact fees and contributed capital, I mean, those are the things that are sort of dragging down that net income number away from the budgeted figure. And I'll scroll down right quick and look at sewer too. I'm focusing on the revenue since that's where the biggest variation from budget was. So looking at residential, commercial, and industrial revenues for the sewer side, you can see these are all better than budget. Interest income, also better than expected. Access and impact fees, nowhere near budget. Miscellaneous income did a little bit better than we expected. And contributed capital is showing higher because I didn't plan for the city's $1 million worth of ARPA grant revenue to hit that account, but it did, and that is leading to that variance there. But hopefully that just helps you see a little bit finer level of detail what's going into the budget to actual figures here at the end of the year. We'll finish presentation with our cash reserves. In the water fund, between unrestricted and restricted reserves, we have a total of $31.5 million. And in the sewer fund, virtually the same, $31.4 million, a total of $62.9 million between the water and sewer funds. And you can see from the chart here that that solid black line, again, that's well above our budgeted cash position for the year. And if you come down and look at sewer, that gap is even more stark. And again, that is predominantly a function of those capital outlays not being what we expected over the course of the year. So we end the year in a much stronger position than we expected going into it. Not shown on the memo here, but since it's the last month of the year, I'll mention our purchased water unaccounted for remains steady at 9%. It has been pretty much 9% for the majority of the fiscal year. And I mentioned our year-end process is already underway. We will have auditors scheduled to be on site the first week of September for their field work here. So we'll be working hard in advance of that and hope for a smooth audit season.
All right, thank you. Any questions for Jared?
Thank you.
All right, thank you,
sir. Brian? As you're probably aware and maybe heard on the news, regionalization of sewer systems is a topic in Northwest Arkansas. With a comprehensive wastewater study by Hawkins Weir that was led by Northwest Arkansas Council, they're mainly focusing on areas out on the west side of town. I know Hawkins Weir came in and talked to me and Todd about if RWU had any participation in that regionalization study, we've also seen some activity and some conversations happening to the north of us along that 62 corridor, Garfield and Avoca, Little Flock, Pea Ridge are looking at regionalization as well for some of these. Benefit some of these smaller communities who don't currently have their own wastewater system. So we've been involved in all those conversations, mainly just to keep our options open in the future. We're served by the plant. We'll continue to be served by the plant for at least the foreseeable future. We did recognize some areas that long-term, regionalization may be advantageous. In the red on this map here are areas that have to be pumped back into the Rogers Pollution Control Facility Basin. And on the east here, these naturally flow into the White River Basin toward Beaver Lake, and then the airport area up here toward that Sugar Creek Basin. And so, moving forward, there may be some areas where, if If NACA ever brings sewer to this area of Lowell and Cave Springs, there might be an opportunity to take a lift station offline and participate in some kind of an agreement to send wastewater somewhere else. And so, again, just kind of being part of that conversation. But those are still really high-level talks. A little update on solids handling. Pretty much just continuing to work on building systems, electrical HVAC, some of the conveyance systems. We've seen several delays. I've talked about some of these before, working with some of the aerial conflicts inside of the building. We've actually had to order some cable trays, and those have been delayed because of all the data center construction. And so our contractor's actually looking at fabricating those, you know, having our steel fabricator fabricate some of those cable trays to avoid some of the delivery dates. We actually had an accident at a galvanizing plant that delayed some of our miscellaneous metal. And still waiting on a few components from Huber, some boiler piping. Overall, we're under budget. We started out with $1.13 million in contingency, and that was a 50% planned completion. Between 50 and 100%, those design changes ate through most of that contingency. And now we're kind of down to 200, we're still $290,000 of contingency, and so that would put us under budget, even after we're looking at some things like purchasing a scissor lift to perform ongoing maintenance at the plant and abandoning some of those old field lines. We are behind schedule. The final completion date has been pushed out to January 2027. So for a long time, that's been mid-November of this year, and that's been pushed out.
Maybe we don't do a ribbon cutting in January.
we can wait until we've got everything operating smoothly. Highway 12 water main replacement. If you've driven out towards the lake recently, you've seen some orange signage out there. Boyles is they've been making pretty good progress. Right here, this is at the boat ramp out there by the bridge on Highway 12, and we've got our water line completed across there. This is a jack and bore site for one of the highway bores under Highway 12. The only snag we've hit is these are really narrow corridors. We've got pretty much core property on one side and really steep rocky outcroppings on the other side, and so some of the corridors we have for our water alignment are really narrow, and some of our planned locations for the existing water lines were off a little bit, and so that's kind of pushed us to have to kind of rethink our design. And so we've been out there the last week and a half doing potholing and digging and verifying the exact location of some of those existing water lines, and may lead to some design changes that could cause future change orders. So if we do, we'll come back to commission to present those. Chateau sewer main construction. They've gotten the sewer line completed in the road along Chateau Drive, along in everybody's front yards, and now they've finished laying the line through the backyards. This picture shows the construction corridor. You can kind of see that's right through somebody's backyard, and we've taken down some privacy fences. So far, we've been pretty happy with this contractor and the footprint that they've had on this property, and the homeowners have been really gracious over there. We've had a few delays with a manhole subcontractor, but that was done this week. Sorry, last week. This week we'll be testing that sewer and getting all those backyards cleaned up as soon as possible. and the contractors now working in an area there in that paved swale behind some of those businesses on Walnut. The PCF improvements, engineering plant staff have been pretty much having weekly meetings with Crossland Heavy and Friesen Nichols on the design, getting really detailed into the processes and how a lot of these components are going to be operated. And so we've received 30% design plans on the first package, which is the equalization basin expansion and hydraulic improvements. We've submitted some comments, and so the engineer's working through that set of plans. The first package one will be submitted to ADEQ in August, and usually we've been told that's about a 6-month design review cycle, and so we hope to be underway with those package one improvements by March of next year, which has been reflected in our budget. And about the first quarter of 2027. Are there any questions? I'll move on to project status. Not a whole lot of change other than I do have a We've been working with the city on this Oak Street campus. We're planning on building our field operations facility. There's a lot going on over there, both with utilities and multiple city facilities. And so later today, I'll be presenting a proposal to do a master plan for the utilities and drainage and kind of making sure we come up with a cohesive master plan on that. And we've got a couple of design contracts still in legal review: Arkansas Street Waterline Extension, our water master plan, and the architectural agreement for the field operations facility. And half engineering has, we had our design kickoff meeting, and they're doing the surveying right now on the industrial area water improvements. This is on Highway 94 west of the airport. We received bids on our SCADA redeployment project, which I'll present today. And under construction, we're getting our kickoff meeting scheduled for our 2027 sewer rehab contract, which is lining, pipe bursting, and manual rehab. And development plans. Pretty much typical of the pattern we've been seeing. And we're back up to, I believe we had 149 sets of plans that we reviewed last month. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Brian? Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Beaver.
Well, good afternoon. I hope everybody's staying cool. As you can see for June, just 8.4 pounds a day of phosphorus for all the people in Rogers is pretty good. Less than 1 milligram a liter. We're doing well on our phosphorus treatment. In fact, the whole plant worked really well. The plant, whenever we have the solids under control and our loading is right, the plant is still very much right sized and doing well. So that's just a reflection of that. As you can see from the industrial pretreatment, we're getting a lot of improvement from our industrial partners. The surcharges were effective in getting people's attention. I think they moved in the right direction. So did our required influent and effluent heavy metal samples with no issues there. Amber continues to do a good job on our fog inspections and keeping track of all that. Nobody's been giving her any trouble, really. Of note, anytime I've seen correspondence, everybody's been very cooperative. So not a whole lot on my plate there. Amber's done a good job managing that as always. Fairly slow month just from a significant event standpoint. We did have a fairly wet month for June. 8 inches of rain over 13 events. So overall, having a daily average flow of 12.8 is pretty good. Operations department and engineering has done a good job. I think this strategy of isolating out places that need to be relined and things like and repairs is going well. We're seeing definite benefits of that. Warmer rain, generically about 75% of loading at the plant. As you can see, every once in a while, ammonia will creep up there still. But phosphorus, where everybody wants to look at, is less than 75%. It's probably 25% of our design load. So I think that's why we struggle with the ammonia first, because we're more heavily loaded on ammonia. But that's what I have for the discussion. It's pretty short and sweet, unless anybody has any questions.
Any questions for Tom? Excellent.
All right, well, back in March, we came to you and got your approval to begin procuring services related to our anticipated revenue bond issues. We just as a recap here, we have been anticipating the need for some additional long-term debt. We budgeted for additional long-term debt in the sewer fund when we recommended our FY27 budget. We are tentatively still planning on about $60 million worth of sewer debt around the February timeframe. And then roughly a year after that, we'll need some additional long-term debt in sewer as well as some in water. These are directly related to a couple of key capital projects and will help us make sure we've got the cash on hand to get those done. And of course, all this was taken into account when we had our rate study and our consultant was looking at the level of debt service that we likely be incurring, and then structuring our rates for water and sewer around that. So this has been a work in progress for a while now. And following your authorization in March, we then took we put out an RFQ, or a request for qualifications, and we did it for both underwriting and bond counsel services. We will plan to use Regions. We'll continue to use Regions as our bond trustee, but we needed an RFQ for these professional services, and by the time the deadline wrapped up, we had 6 firms responding to the RFQ for underwriting services, and we had 3 firms responding to it for bond counsel services. The selection committee was composed of the superintendent and myself, and we spent a good bit of time looking over those. There was a lot of information to consume, and I think we'd both say we were pretty pleased to have the level of response that we had, the qualifications of the firms that we had. We had some good choices. We had good firms to pick from. And at the end of the day, of course, we followed the criteria outlined in the RFQ, but we agreed that we wanted to prioritize their relevant experience in Arkansas working with issuers like us, and then also just our general staff confidence in the personnel that we'll be working closely with over the next couple of years. That's a pretty big deal to us, to find some partners that you enjoy working with and that you have confidence in, that you trust. And so I think we'll take these one at a time. Looking at the first table there, it's our scoring results for underwriting services. And you can see highlighted in yellow, our top scoring respondent was Stevens. Representing Stevens, we have Kevin Fott in the room today. Kevin has over 20 years experience with Stevens doing just this kind of work. And Kevin has been very proactive in reaching out to both Brent and me for as long as I've been here. And as a result of that effort and that experience, we're confident that we're going to be a priority for Stevens. The underwriter, of course, is involved with structuring the debt and pricing it and marketing it. And we think we'll be well served by Kevin Fott and his team at Stevens. So I would invite for your consideration here. The selection committee recommends awarding the contract for underwriting services to Stevens, Inc. If approved by the commission, staff will move forward with contract negotiations with the firm and return to seek approval of the negotiated terms of the agreement.
Thank you. Do we happen to have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Is that Derek?
Yes.
So we have a motion and a second to select Stevens as the underwriter for anticipated bond issue.
We need to vote.
Oh, we need to vote. Yes, we do. do we have any, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any against? Okay, thank you.
Very good. And of course, the second one here is our bond council. And so in that second table, you see the scoring results for bond council. As I mentioned, we had three firms responding, and our top scoring firm was Friday, Eldridge, and Clark. The firm is represented by Ryan Bowman, who made the trip up from Little Rock today. I know when I was brand new here, we were just finishing up our bond issue for the 2024 series debt facilitated by the Natural Resource Commission at the state, and Chef Russell at the Friday firm was instrumental for helping me get my feet under me and figuring out what that was all about. Even after the bond closed, I had questions for him, and he was always ready to call me back. So we trust we'll get that same kind of service from Ryan Bowman and the current team at the Friday firm. Our recommendation is to award the contract for bond counsel services to Friday, Eldridge, and Clark. If approved by the commission, staff will move forward with contract negotiations with the firm and return to seek approval of the negotiated terms of the agreement.
All right, thank you. Do we happen to have a motion?
Make a motion.
Second.
Derek and Kathy, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Thank you so much. I did advise these gentlemen they didn't need to stick around for the rest of our agenda, so don't be surprised if they did.
Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. John.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, thank you for being here.
So I'm coming to you for resolution number 2618. Just asking to waive competitive bidding. We're looking at purchasing two 2026 Ram 1500 Tradesman 4x4 crew cab trucks and one Nissan Frontier SV 4x4 crew cab truck. All of these are under what we could find for state and federal bids. We'll be purchasing them, the two Rams. Did they get added? They didn't get added. We'll be purchasing them from Missouri, up in Missouri, and from Wood Ford up there. And then the other one's coming from McCarty Daniel over in Bentonville. So the Frontier is. So we're asking for you to approve the budget for $89,148.62, and those are in our budget to be purchased, and they're just for the two, that's the cost, and for the one, for the Frontier, it'd be $40,247.30. They are, like I said, are in our budget, and actually under what we had budgeted, so we'd like to get your approval to make those purchases.
Right, we have a proposal, a resolution approving the purchase of certain motor vehicles, authorizing the expenditure of funds for the purchase, waiving the competitive bidding, and for other purposes. Do we happen to have a motion? I make a motion to approve resolution number 26-18. Anything that's under budget, man, I'm there.
Thank you. So we have a motion by Paige. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Kathy. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Thank you.
All right. I don't see Aaron, so I'm guessing that's you, Robin.
Yes. Aaron could not be here today, so I will do my best to present this item. As you're aware, we've got Ground Zero Construction working on the Blossom Way emergency repair. This is the work that's going on just east of Mercy Hospital, kind of back there behind Panda and Chuck E. Cheese and all that area. So this is a large diameter sewer line with several manholes and a large concrete diversion box structure. We received a change order request from Ground Zero, and a portion of this is the epoxy for the manholes and the diversion box. Generally, epoxy coatings aren't specified for new construction. However, this is in a high hydrogen sulfide area, and we felt it would be easier, cheaper, while this is being constructed, to go ahead and apply those epoxy coatings to provide long-term protection, rather than go back and try to do it later when we'd have to bypass pump sewer to do it. And so they submitted a price of $169,050 to complete that work. We had an owner's allowance of $150,000 built into the bid, and then we've got $169,050 for the epoxy lining. We also anticipate a certain amount of rock removal. We did anticipate a little bit of rock removal, and we had that in the bid. However, the actual conditions require a lot more rock removal than we anticipated. And so we're going to be pretty significantly over the estimated quantities. And so we also wanted to include $75,000 to cover that additional quantity overruns for rock removal. That puts us at a change order total of $94,050 over the originally approved amount.
So we are seeking an approval for an overage on large diameter sewer rehab. For cost overruns, do we happen to have a motion?
Motion to approve. Do I need to say more? Do I need to list the amount? Increasing the project budget by $94,050, total project to $1,086,134.50.
All right, thank you. So we have a motion to approve. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Kathy. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. This next item is Resolution 2619, authorizing a municipal water system interconnection agreement with the City of Pea Ridge, recommending approval of the agreement by the City of Rogers and for other purposes. So this was originally we were approached by the City of Pea Ridge, and Pea Ridge is currently served from Benton, Washington Regional Public Water Authority, otherwise known as Two-Ton. And Two-Ton was incorporated in the early 90s. Before the early 90s, Rogers served all of Pea Ridge through a meter located on North Highway 94 and Yoakum Road, basically at the end of our system right here. And so when Pea Ridge hooked up to Two-Ton, it essentially left us with a dead-end line and then with a single feed up into town. Now, since they've connected to another two-ton connection at 72, so their system operates on a large loop. However, they've had to abandon a part of the line that crosses Sugar Creek, so they only have a one-way feed to this part of town. Their water master plan recommended reinstating the Rogers connection as a backup for this Brush Creek area. Okay, and coincidentally, over the weekend, just yesterday morning, two-ton had a break, and it put Pea Ridge out of service for a couple hours. Brush Creek's under a boil order right now, and we'd been talking about this agreement and negotiating and putting this together for a couple of weeks now. So currently, that metering station is right here at Yoakum Road. When they connected to two-ton, we closed the valve, and everything else is still there. And so we plan to just replace that meter that's in there with one that'll read two directions. And so this will benefit Rogers and Pea Ridge. If we have a break somewhere on this dead-end line, we'll be able to isolate that and backfeed from that two-ton system. And I think the meter's around $6,000 or $7,000 that's going to be shared with Pea Ridge. And so at a minimal cost, I think it's going to be a good benefit for both cities. And so that's a little bit of a background behind the resolution. And I would be happy to answer any questions you might have.
So is this just for emergencies?
Yes, sorry. Okay. Yes, this is just for emergencies.
Okay, that's what
And this is really, the wording is very similar to agreements that we have for our existing emergency connections with Bentonville. It describes basically what the procedure is when we need to make use of those connections. But yeah, it's not for daily use. It's only for emergencies.
Do we have any other questions for Brian?
I'll make a motion to pass resolution number 26-19, a resolution authorizing a municipal water system interconnection agreement with the City of Pea Ridge, recommending approval of the agreement by the City of Rogers and for other purposes.
Okay, we have a motion by Kathy.
Second.
Second by Paige. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Good. See you.
Thank you. I'm sorry for the exhausted history lesson.
No, it's good. I'd
like to put things in the boundaries. Okay, the next item I have is a proposal that we've received from Half Engineering for some master planning along West Oak Street, and this is the proposed city campus. I have an exhibit I'm going to try to get to here. Okay. So the field operations facility, the planned location for RW's field operations facility is this location on the south side of Oak Street. The city will also be reconstructing the animal control facility on the north side that was damaged by the tornado. In similar fashion, they will be reconstructing the fire department training center right next to that. And additionally, a parks maintenance facility is planned for just to the west of our building. At the same time, we have a proposed road project, the extension of Oak Street between Promenade Boulevard and 28th Street. And so we've got a lot of stuff going on here, and there hasn't really been a comprehensive design to put it all together. And so we've been discussing this with David Hook over at the City of Rogers, and we're both in agreement that we probably need to have everybody, have an engineer take a look at just everyone's plans for these facilities, for these road improvements, and kind of come up with a with a comprehensive, at least a set of options. And one of the biggest problems that we've recognized is the sanitary sewer layout in here. We have some large mains, and this used to be the site of our treatment plant. Before it was out at Rainbow Road, that treatment plant was in this area right at the end of Oak Street where the Parks Department currently works out of. And so we transitioned from gravity flow to pressurized flow in here, which creates issues for providing connections. And so there's a number of ways to do this, and some of them require relocating some of those larger mains, and/or installing a number of pump stations. Locating buildings so they're not in conflict with some of these sewer lines. There's also a history of unknown fill materials in some of these areas that needs to be explored. And so, because we have a shared interest in this site, the discussion with the city was cost sharing this contract by 50%. I haven't confirmed that yet, but we're asking, but it will be up to a 50% cost share. So the master planning will take into account the building locations, the road work, the unidentified fill materials and utilities, and storm sewer detention basins, all that stuff. So keeping in mind that a portion of the cost, up to 50%, will be shared with the City of Rogers, staff requests authorization to enter into this agreement with HAF Associates for the hourly services, with a total amount not to exceed $89,000, and to negotiate the final form and content of the agreement, as well as negotiate a mutually agreeable reimbursement rate from the City of Rogers. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
And so you've already picked the contractor? You've already...
The HAF Engineering, this is an engineer that is working on the animal control facility, as well as the sub-consultant of our architect. So they're familiar with at least two of these projects.
That makes sense.
So we selected them mainly based on their familiarity with the site.
I make a motion that we approve this authorization to enter into agreement with HAP Associates for hourly services with total amount not to exceed $89,000, and to negotiate the final form and content of the agreement, as well as negotiate a mutually agreeable reimbursement rate from the City of Rogers, and we would approve a portion up to 50% to be shared with the City of Rogers.
We have a motion by Paige.
Second.
Second by Derek. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Right, seeing none opposed. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Mr.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This is a resolution to approve a settlement in the Blossom Way sewer litigation. The commission probably remembers we're in a lawsuit with the Lindsay property entities about certain encroachments on the easement of the Blossom Way, or the golf course, the Blossom Way golf course here in Rogers. Some of the key features of the settlement are... It's a very detailed settlement, a lot of engineers involved. Aaron and Brian and Brent were over at the mediation, and we worked all day on this, and then spent another month or so hashing out the details. But the just the settlement's in the consent order, and it's going to be signed by Judge Schrantz if the commission approves it, and then all the parties will be bound, and the case will be closed. Of course, the court will be is retaining jurisdiction to supervise the project if there's any problems, and I don't anticipate there will be. But this sets out the parties' obligations regarding, like, who's going to replace what cart path where, if it's in the easement or whether it's out of the easement. So it's highly detailed. There's a payment involved from RWU to the Lindsay entity that owns the property, $200,000. The payment will cover the topsoil and sod that Lindsay will be responsible for replacing. Also, it's will secure release from any kind of claim at all related to this project. So we think it's a reasonable amount, a reasonable settlement. It's a good resolution. And the main thing that I guess to think about with this settlement is that it allows the much-needed Blossom Way Sewer Improvements Project to proceed without a cloud of uncertainty over it. Also, the thing I like about the settlement is the encroachment agreement. Going forward, at the conclusion of the sewer improvements project at the golf course, apartment complex, the encroachment agreement is supposed to be signed by the Lindsay entities, and this brings the encroachments that are on for the easement within the system of regulated encroachments that we have pursuant to our resolution. So right now they're outside the system, but this encroachment agreement will bring them inside the system where we can they'll be regulated, and if they have to be replaced in the future, ultimately the ultimate cost is on Lindsay to replace them going forward. And Rogers Water will try to avoid damaging them, but if there is damage, there's going to have to be Lindsay will be responsible for that damage, and those details are set forth in the encroachment agreement. So I'd be glad to answer any questions about the settlement.
So they agreed on the encroachment as well?
Yes, the encroachment agreement will be part as exhibit here to the settlement agreement, and that's the form that will be signed after the project is completed.
Okay.
And we request approval for this resolution.
I'll make a motion to pass resolution number 26-20, a resolution approving settlement of certain litigation concerning the Blossom Way Sewer Improvements Project and for other purposes.
We have a motion by Kathy. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I just reiterate, we do feel very confident that we got a good value out of that, especially after what we've learned over other golf courses.
Yeah.
And this relieves us of a lot of things it gave us. I'd like to introduce Resolution 2621. This is approving certain amendments to Chapter 54. It's interesting, you make a lot of these rules and then they get tested. And they can sit there for a long time and nothing happens. Some of these are that way. One is, the first one in billing, look at that. What this does, except as otherwise specifically provided in this division, all users shall pay on the basis of actual metered water used. This next section that's read or deleted, that we need to delete or asking permission to delete, was originally intended for industrial, like a cooling tower, right? If you could prove that that water wasn't going back into our sanitary sewer, we do that. Well, that's directly against our policy now and has been for a while. But we didn't really see it in there until we went back through it and cleaned it. So this would just get rid of that loophole, if you will, and not allow what we don't allow anyway in policy, that we don't want to have something that's not congruent. The second item, which it's second and third just because it's water and sewer, but they read the same. We put this in there originally for a transition, a nice transition, when we went from impact and access fees to just the impact fee. Anything that was had been already approved, up to a certain date, we'd go ahead and allow the old access and impact fees and wouldn't charge the new ones. Well, turns out the loophole here is if you've got a subdivision that's been there 25 years and there's an unfinished lot or three in it, it actually applies to this as well. We don't need that in there. Less is more in law, right, Kathy? We'll take that out. We're requesting to take that out, excuse me. And we know who is still, you know, was approved, and eventually that ends pretty quickly, actually. So this is what the request of the resolution is that we can remove and take out these this muni code that really doesn't apply, that needs to be cleaned up. So we'd ask for your approval on that.
Do we happen to have any questions for Brent? Do we have a motion on resolution 2621?
I'll make a motion to pass resolution number 26-21, a resolution approving certain amendments to chapter 54 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Rogers, Arkansas, and for other purposes.
Now, we have a motion by Kathy. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Derek. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All
right.
Thank you.
Congratulations, we've made it to the last item. Okay, these are the bid results for RW SCADA systems, and this project is for the installation of new fiber optic infrastructure and local networking panels installed at facilities throughout the sewer plant. Jerry and I have been working on this along with Todd. We've all had a little bit of a hand in it. We had estimated $395,000 for this project. When we bid this out, we received one bid response from Crossland Heavy at $377,980, so just below the estimate. Crossland Heavy's already out there working on the site with solids handling, and they'll be transitioning into the wastewater plant expansion project. So they're very, very familiar with our site. Staff recommends approval of award of a bid to Crossland Heavy Construction for $377,980. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Do we have any questions for Brian, Kendall, or IT? Okay. Seeing no questions, we happen to have a motion to approve.
Motion to approve the bid results for RWU's the SCADA systems for $377,980 to Crossland Heavy.
Do we happen to have a second?
Second.
Motion by Paige, second by Derek. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any last minute things before we adjourn? Kathy, it's great to see you here. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Seeing nothing else, we are adjourned.